I will say this. I've been encouraged by God and by man about the subject of finances. The subject of finances is the most common subject we talk about every day of our lives. It is the number one reason for divorce in the United States of America, financial problems. So therefore, we're not going to shy away from this subject of money. Not that I'm going to talk about it today, but I just want to let you know. Okay, have we got the CD running? Let's give thanks. And Father, I just want to thank you for this house. I want to thank you for your liberty and your glory. And Father, just anoint us today and be in our midst to bring your presence and to impregnate your word into our hearts, that it will bear fruit for your glory. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been here for the last couple of weeks, I spoke 2 weeks ago a message called Welcome to Ellis Island, and how I likened the kingdom of God to Ellis Island. I'm very, very proud to be an American by choice. And how come I've only got half a bottle of water? And how the fact that Ellis Island welcomed millions and millions of people, and only 2% of the people that came were turned away, either from incurable diseases, mental health, or they were violent criminals. But other than that, this nation welcomed people, but how much more your Father in heaven will welcome you into his kingdom. So the scripture that's in mind, by the way, if you want to follow with some of the scriptures, the yellow piece of paper here, indeed, is our daily reading program, so you can follow every day and remind yourself of what was shared today. And it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's what happened when you get born again. You become translated into his kingdom. I want to encourage each and every one of you, Christianity, please stop looking at it as if it's a philosophy or a religion. Christianity is a miracle. It's a miracle. You used to be in darkness, you're now in his marvelous light. You used to be separated from God, you are now joined to God. The Bible says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So please get away from the religious philosophy of the tradition of Christianity. Christianity is not a tradition, it's not a religion, it's not a philosophy. It's a miracle. It's a person. When you get born again, the Spirit of God himself comes into your heart. A miracle happened. God takes out your heart of stone. He puts in a heart of flesh. Old things have passed away. It's just you don't believe it. That's the bottom line. You don't believe it because you don't know what he's done. You don't know how he's done it. And so therefore, we don't know what to believe. So welcome to Ellis Island. 2 weeks ago, last week I preached, get off Ellis Island. And how so many times we come to God and then we live in this little narrow religious thought pattern that we can never get away from this, oh wretched man that I am, and this terrible thought that we're not good enough. And we live under the cloud of condemnation, of guilt, of shame, of poverty. None of these which came from God. Many people in upstate New York, I thank God for Kingston. I really love our town. And I refuse to call it a city. I'm from London. And that's a city. And I really love our town because you can see the progress, you know, the stores and things that are growing. And we need to keep believing God. The Bible says, by the blessing of the righteous, the city is exalted. So don't blame the city if there's a problem. Blame the righteous. And so therefore, we need to be the blessing in this city, which Patrick's just demonstrated. So the point is so many of us, we were raised incorrectly. I don't know how many of you were raised in a home of Bible-believing, Bible-doing Christians. Not many of us. I certainly wasn't. I never went to church in my life until I was converted at 29 years old. So therefore, I didn't have those traditions. But now I'm saying, not only get off Ellis Island, I'm saying, go west, young man. And go west, young man, is such an Americanism. You know, you can't do that in England. There ain't enough west to go to. you know, you've only got to drive for half a day and you're splash, you're in the sea, you know. But do you know that nowhere in England is more than 70 miles from the ocean? And so, you know, you don't get that same concept of going west, that there is a broader place, there is a frontier, there's something more than living in this little ghetto of Brooklyn or wherever you may from. I mean, everybody originated out of Brooklyn. I mean, that's obvious. But, you know, and this, how many people here were born and come from Brooklyn? Come on, raise your hands. See, look, there's up the back there, see, Brooklyn. But the reality is this, and I told you this before, but when I first came to the United States of America, I came there in November 1978, and my wife and I did not have the right finances to fulfill our dream, so we began to hitchhike. We didn't change our dream, we changed the strategy. That's the first thing I'm going to continue to say to Christians as long as I live. If you do not have enough money to fulfill God's call upon your life, then don't change the call of God upon your life. Trust Him for another strategy. Are you listening to me? Stop using a lack of finances as an excuse for not fulfilling the call of God upon your life. Did you hear Pat do that? He did. He used what was in his hand, an old van, stuffed the stuff on top. Never mind the fact that he's got four children, he's a single parent. Stuff them in the back and do the job. Are you with me? Get the job done with what's in your hand. That's what God said to Moses. So, go west, young man, is such a reality. When you come to America, really, I know, who has never seen the Pacific Ocean? Never seen the Pacific Ocean. You've never been to the West Coast. You don't know what it looks like. I remember while we were hitchhiking around, we met a guy in North Carolina who was convinced that the Rockies were in the western part of North Carolina. Yeah, he was. He was convinced that that's where they were. And I couldn't for the life of me remember what they were called. I mean, the Appalachians, whatever they are. But I knew they weren't the Rockies because I'd already been there. I got over to the Rockies. I saw the Rockies. And I want to encourage you. In my opinion, which, of course, like yours, is worthless. But I've been to 47 states. And in my opinion, I think New York is actually the nicest state on the East Coast. I think we have more to offer than any other state on the East Coast. It's just that we're New Yorkers, therefore we don't appreciate it, which is why we need to learn to give thanks. But if you think about this state, it's a beautiful state, two beautiful mountain ranges. We have the Great Lakes, Niagara Falls, we have the Finger Lakes, we have Lake Champlain, we have Lake George, we have more lakes than anybody else. We've got, as I say, the Catskills, which are beautiful. Look at the lovely Hudson River. And then we've got the Big Apple. Well, if you bumpkins don't like the Big Apple, I'm sorry, you're missing out in life. New York is pretty cool, I tell you. And so we have all this in this state. It's a great state, and we don't appreciate it. But I want to tell you something. If you want to see the greatness of this nation, if you want to see that this nation is the most beautiful nation in the world, and I've been to 71 countries, so I have a little bit of an opinion here, at least something to measure it by, then we have to realize that you're not going to find it in Rhode Island or Brooklyn. We have to look beyond where we are. We have to realize that there is a greatness in this nation, and we have to leave something to get it. Now, too many of us, and I want to quote this because Mike Petzer was here this week. I want to explain something to you. We hear from now and then, we have special meetings. Mike Petzer is not just a pastor from Tucson, Arizona, who was born in South Africa. He's a New Testament teacher of which there are not many walking the earth. And his teaching is by far beyond, way better than mine, way better than anybody I know. He is a New Testament teacher, and his teaching was outstanding. And I want to encourage you to avail yourselves to the people that we bring into this house. In fact, two Thursdays from now, not this Thursday, because of course it's Thanksgiving, the following Thursday, we have Pastor Ifiel Makamuri, an old friend of mine from Harare, Zimbabwe, that I've known now for 20 years. And he is a great man of God. He's coming to this house on Thursday, what would that be, the 29th of November? Avail yourself. What are you going to do, watch TV or spend quality time with your family? Spend quality time with your family here, because that's the way you're going to learn the things of God. So, just want to encourage you, and the of the thing that Mike said, if I can find it, I can't probably find it. Here it is. Our problem in our kingdom and in our lives is we keep sticking with the familiar. Is that okay? Can we repent from that? Can we say, yep, that's me? Sticking with the familiar, or if you always do what you've always done, you'll always be where you always were. And you may say, that's okay. But I'm not so convinced. And the way to be unstuck from the familiar is not to find something new. Now, bear with this thought. So Mike said this. Sticking with the familiar, the problem is progress is not finding something new. Progress is leaving something behind. Now, you may say that's semantics. It isn't. So in other words, the first thing God told Abraham, the father of our faith, the first thing he said was, leave. He didn't say the first thing, go. The first thing he said was, leave your father's house and your land and go to the country that I will show you. Now, can you hear this? Until you leave and start going, he can't lead you. Because you can't steer a parked car. Now, the reason why I say this so boldly and so emphatically is because most of you know that in 1974, when I left England to go to Africa, I lived in a place called Neasden in northwest London, and my wife lived in a place called Hendon in northwest London. They were right next to each other. They were as close as Kingston and Port Ewing. How close is that? It was that? Oh, then it wasn't that far. It was a mile and a half. My wife lived a mile and a half away from where I lived. And we met on a ship on a 6,000-mile journey. You see what I'm saying? So the blessing of God was there all the time, but until I left, I didn't get it. Are you with me? It is the principle of faith according to Father Abraham. So I want you to see that. So what's happened is when we're born again, when we come into the kingdom, we don't leave enough. We don't leave our old thoughts, our old ways, our old ideas, our old principles. We don't leave the way we were raised. And I think we were all raised incorrectly. We were nearly all raised incorrectly. We don't leave it. We try and add Jesus to it. We try and bring the Rockies to Brooklyn. Are you with me here? We try and bring the blessing of God into the mess I've been in. Instead of making a decision about what the where I am and then begin to move forward into the blessing of God. Didn't Jesus say that to all his followers? Didn't he? Leave your nets. Leave your money table. Elisha, leave your plow. Leave it. Well, where are we going? I ain't telling you that. I'm not telling you that. Do you know until you say yes to the unknown will of God, you'll never find it? Can I say that again slowly? Until you say yes to the unknown will of God, you'll never find it. So therefore, whatever the will of God is in life, you have to say, yes, Lord. Now, let me give you the premise of that, not only Father Abraham, but the first post-ascension apostle, Paul. When he was born again on the Damascus Road, you may remember what happened. He told the story in Acts 26 when he stood before King Agrippa. And he said that there was a light shining, etc. And then Jesus said this to him. Arise and stand upon your feet. Which in other words is, let's get delivered from codependence, but that's another story. Arise and stand upon your feet, for I've called you for this purpose, to be a witness and a minister, both of the things that you have seen and the things that I will reveal unto you. And too many of us, before we want to progress or change, we want to see what he will reveal unto us, then make a decision about it. Sorry, never going to happen. God doesn't offer you a new job until you decide to leave the one you're in. Now, I'm not saying all of you go out and quit your jobs. I'm not saying that. I did do that myself. I'm not saying that. But the reality is, until you in your heart and your soul forsake the ways of this culture, this tradition, until you forsake it, then how can you move into the tradition and the culture of the kingdom of God that he so freely wants to give you? Now, let me describe to you, we're going to bring this up in the overhead. It's Deuteronomy 28. I am going to show you in the scriptures. He says, hopefully, Deuteronomy 28, beginning verse 1. This is, before we go any further, don't read it yet. Can I have eye contact here? This is your life. Did you ever see that program? Remember that? They used to have it in England. It was really good. This is your life. The only trouble is you either don't know it or believe it. Here it is. It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe, to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you hearken to the Lord, the voice of the Lord your God. It's appropriate that we've got an ocean there. Yesterday in our Saturday night meeting, while we were in worship, I realized, and I hope you can hear me now, I realized, Pat's been talking about the poor this morning. Now, we love the poor. God loves the poor. He never condemns the poor. He never puts shame on the poor, and nor do we. But what I'm going to say is, do we sometimes think that that is the way it's going to be for the rest of our lives? Or do we think that that's maybe a starting point of progress? Did everybody get that? Is it the way I've got to be for the rest of my life, or is it a starting point for progress? So if it's a starting point for progress, I need to go west. I need to get out of Brooklyn. I need to get out of my ghetto. I need to get out of Neasden. I need to get somewhere and get moving and start realizing that sooner or later, I'll have the right chair and the right tables on the roof of my van, and I know that God wants that to go somewhere, and I'm in the right place. So I'm asking us all this question, and I don't have this right in my own life. How's your marriage? How are your kids? How are your finances? How's your health? Do you love your job? Are you enjoying your ministry? Do you have a ministry? What else are there? Are you happy every day? What else is there? Tell me something about life that we're looking for. Are you experiencing peace? Thanks, Stace. Have you got peace every day? Have you got? Do you love your whole family? In-laws and outlaws. You see, if you don't, you're not living the life God has already given you through Jesus. He's already given you this life through Jesus, and this describes it. Next. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in Saugerties. Because if Kingston's not a city, nor Saugerties. But anyway, blessed shall be the fruit of your body. There you go, kids. The produce of your ground, the increase of your herd, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. None of us do that. But just think about it. You'll be blessed in your work. You'll be blessed in your finances. You'll be blessed in your income. You won't be in debt. You won't carry on. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. And that doesn't mean need. It means need. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. In other words, are we going out? The Lord will cause your enemies, who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way, and they shall flee seven ways. Wonderful Jesus. The Lord will command a blessing on you in the storehouse and in all which you put your hand to. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Whoa! What land is this, Lord? Go back that one again. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Next. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he's sworn to you to keep the commandments the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. It's amazing how many Christians are afraid of this world. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. How many? Plenty? All right. Fruit of your body, your livestock, your ground, the land of which the Lord swore your fathers to give you. Next. The Lord will open to you. This is what I like. The Lord will open to you his good treasure. The heavens. Give the rain your land in season and bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations and you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Okay, leave it right there. These are the promises of God that God gave to the nation of Israel, which still exists, of course, but it also comes upon us. If you want to do homework, then you need to read Galatians chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 4 and Romans chapter 4, that it talks about these promises are not written for Abraham only, but also for us. So therefore, these promises are coming on. Now, when did all these promises begin to accumulate? What was he talking about? He wasn't talking about Egypt. He wasn't talking about Sinai. He was talking about go west, young man. Because that's what happened when they got to Moab and it was time to cross over the Jordan, that they needed to realize there was such a blessing in the going over. I want you to go over. I want you to do this. I don't want you to live half-baked. Either, you know, we're all living in Egypt, rich and poor alike. But then when we came out of Egypt, we came into Sinai, and that's where so many of us are still living. Please listen to me. Too many Christians are still scratching around in Sinai. They're living in the desert. They're living in a place that's dry. We were never designed to do that. We were designed to live in abundant place. Four of you agree with me? Okay. This is the design of God. This is what God wanted for us. He wants us to go west. Now, of course, you've got to remember, when God was saying this, he was on one side of the Jordan, and we had to go over to the west side of the Jordan. We had to go west to get these blessings, to get these promises. But the thing is these promises, the minute we see them, we go, oh, man, look at all those promises. And then we focus on the giants, and we focus on every walled city. Well, one of the things Mike preached was when God spoke to Joshua in Joshua chapter 6, verse 2, if you're taking notes, and he said, I have given you Jericho into your hand. And Joshua's standing there going, really? Looks to me like they're in charge of it. Right? How many times are the promises of God given to you and all you see is the wall of Jericho? But God said, I have, past tense, given it to you. And here we are saying, what if, what about them? And you see what I'm saying? So the minute God promises us something, we nullify it with the what ifs. And we start thinking about the ghetto we were raised in. And we start thinking about the poverty we were raised in. And we start thinking about the opinion of the people that raised us and spoke death over us all our lives that would never amount to anything. And therefore, we can't take the promise because we're afraid to cross over into it. You have to leave Sinai. You have to get out of the desert. It's time to get out of it. Let's make a decision about it. Now, God wants to make us the head and not the tail. Can I just talk a little bit about the nation of Israel just for a couple of minutes? To many, you might do so. Personally, I don't know any poor Jews. Personally. I met, when I lived in Israel, there were some, because many of them were just immigrants coming back from Ethiopia or Yemen or Russia. There were some poor Jews there. But in our nation, do you ever meet any Jewish people that are complete failures? Strange, isn't it? In fact, pretty much, you know, from Spielberg and, let's forget names. The Jewish people are so successful in their fields, whether it be music, whether it be business, whether it be banking, whether it be movies. I saw a thing on Billy Crystal the other day. I like Billy Crystal. And, you know, I love his Jewish jokes. Yiddish jokes even better, you know. And everybody who came on his show, pretty much, they were Jewish. And all these Jewish people are so successful. Do you know why? Deuteronomy 28. God was talking to them, and the blessings of Abraham, they were blessed people. Do you know there's only 14 or 15 million Jewish people in the world? And who doesn't know a bunch of them? And who doesn't know that they're all successful? And then the Bible in the book of Romans says we, the church, are supposed to provoke them to jealousy. Huh? And so they walk in and they look on us and go, okay, yeah. So what you guys got then? Come on, provoke me. You see what I'm saying? It's because God has given us so much, but we're stuck in Brooklyn. We're still in the Sinai. We're still there asking for manna. Please, sir, can I have some more? That was an interesting twist. That's why they're called Oscars, not Olivers. And now that was funny. So I'm saying that Jesus brought all of the blessings of Abraham to us. Not only did that, he went one better. Those of you who are Bible scholars would know that the rest of Deuteronomy 28 is a curse. A stinking horrible curse, to be honest. But let me read your scripture if I can find it, because I just want to read it to you. It's in the book of Galatians. If anybody finds it before I do, tell me where it is. Book of Galatians. Right, we're talking about the blessing of God. Here it is. Galatians 3. Why don't you stick it up there then? You got it? Galatians 3 beginning... Verse 13, just put verse 13 up. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Deuteronomy 28. Having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So what I want you to see here is Jesus Christ gave us the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham's grandson Israel. He gave us all those blessings, but the Jewish people had an alternative. They had a curse. But we don't even have that. Because it's gone. Come on, saints, somebody stay with me. I'm pretty good at my theology. And if you can't see it, please write me an email. Talk to me later on this subject. Oy vey, I'm good. So what I want you to see is we used to have a choice of blessing and cursing, life and death on the two mountains when they came in. And then remember what God said, choose life. This one, guys, go for this one. The life, the blessing, choose that one. People are so dumb they have to be told to choose the blessing. Right. And what God did through Jesus is he took the curse away. So now the only thing left is a blessing. So why aren't we living in it? You know why? People get lost trying to get across the Hudson. You ever tried to come out of Brooklyn? Has anybody ever... Isn't that the weirdest place to live? I mean, there's no straight roads there. I haven't been there that often. Probably haven't been there in 15 years, but I always get lost in Brooklyn. You know why? You know what I need to get out of Brooklyn? A map. I need a map. And if we're going to get to the inheritance of God, we need a map. And thank God, Rand McNally wasn't the first one to draw one up. God was. And this map accurately describes to you who you are because of Jesus Christ and what he's given you, his treasure. And as the Bible says in the book of Luke, it is the Father's blessing. Is that the right word? Pleasure. Thanks, Sheldon. It is the Father's pleasure to give you his kingdom. He wants to give it to us. What is stopping us from taking us? I'll tell you what it is. It's the natural man. It's the natural mind. It says the carnal man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. So the more you try and figure things out in life with your own head, your own strength, your own intellect, your own will, your own emotions, the more you're going to fail, because the blessing of God is given to us one way and one way only, is through the Word of God that's in our hearts and that we feed. I don't know. Why don't you go home and write down how many hours a week you're in the Word of prayer? Write it down. Log it. Log it this week. Log this week how many hours, dare I say this, how many minutes, I hope that was a Sarah laugh of unbelief. Write down this week how many minutes a week you're in the Word and prayer, and you wonder why you keep getting lost and can't find the promise. It's because we can't get out of Brooklyn. You see, we'll only change by the renewing of our mind. We can only change when our mind is washed. We can only change when we finally come to a place. Do you know what it's like to be born in England and admit that God wasn't an Englishman? Do you know what that's like? That's extremely difficult. Do you know what it's like to actually think that Paul did not read the King James Bible? That's a very hard thing to live with. And not only that, I want to tell you this. And this is what some of you need to do. I one day had to look my nation's history in the face and say, no, it is not the greatest nation in the world. And I want to tell you something. It's time for us as a nation, as a people, to look purposefully into the mirror of our lives and say, no, the American dream is not the best dream in the world. It's God's dream. It's God's dream. And I need to cross over from where I am to get out of my thought patterns into the thought patterns of God. And there's only one way. You need a map. And you need somebody to guide you with the map. And that person is the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you today, what's your relationship like with the Holy Spirit? What's your communion like with the Holy Spirit? We can read the Bible, and all we sometimes get is information. Turn that off, please. We can read the Bible, and the only thing we're left with is information. But when you begin to commune with the Holy Spirit, when you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the author begins to become part of you, and you begin to get it. You begin to get it. You begin to understand it. And you begin to realize that it is actually, you are now a partaker of this divine nature. And these things are yours, having been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And you begin to get it. It begins to come in. We need to commune with the Holy Spirit. What I'm going to do now, we must pray for Tony, because Tony Raiola is going for a surgery tomorrow. Tony's at the back of the... In fact, we can pray for him at the back there. He doesn't have to come forward. But on closing, I want you to think about this. I have given you Jericho into your hands. The walls are still up. They're still armed. They've got all their arrows aiming at you. But God said, I've given it to you. God said, I've given you all these blessings of Deuteronomy 28. The issue is we actually don't believe it. Because what we believe is our experience, we believe our circumstances, and we believe our sense knowledge. And until that is washed by the water of his word, you're never going to believe who you really are in Christ Jesus, and you're going to scratch for the rest of your life. So yesterday, as I was going to say, I was in prayer during the worship downstairs on Saturday evening. And as my daughter was leading the worship, I began to see how many Christians are drowning. And we have some drowning Christians in this room. And those of us who don't want to admit we're drowning, therefore we don't ask for help, we suffice with a raft. Did anybody see Castaway? Who saw Castaway? Tom Hanks. You remember that? I hate that part of the movie where he gets on that raft. God, it just, anything less than 30,000 tons, I can't handle. And to be on that raft adrift in the middle of the ocean with no food and no water and no safety and no protection horrifies me. And do you know how many Christians are living like that? They're living on a raft. They're just above drowning. And slowly, pieces are falling off of the raft. And you're so full of faith, the only thing you can call out is, Wilson! Well, I'm tired of calling on the name of Wilson. It's time to call on the name of the Lord and get rescued. We need to get rescued, man. But he's already rescued us, but you don't believe it. He's already rescued us because he's already given us that, but we don't believe it because we refuse to leave Brooklyn. So that's all I want to leave you with today. Is you need to go west. You need to leave some of your thought patterns. Let's face it, they're wrong. You need to leave your traditions. Let's face it, they're wrong. All you're doing is strapping together pieces of wood, hoping you're going to make it in life. And that's not what God's got for you. Some of us are like Syrophoenician woman under the table. Oh, give me a crumb, give me a crumb. And Jesus is saying, what are you doing down there? Come and dine. Come to my banquet. Come and see and taste that the Lord is good. There are many of us, we're in a corner trying to pick up bits and pieces like Ruth because we're widows and orphans. And he's saying, no, man, come into the middle of the field and I'll drop handfuls on purpose. That's what he wants to do for us, but we don't believe it because you're living under a cloud of unbelief, carnality. You're living under a cloud of shame, guilt, condemnation. How many of you are going through lives because you've been divorced, or your children are running around, or your children are on drugs or getting pregnant, and the guilt and the shame and the condemnation, and you're trying to figure out for yourself how to get out of this, and you're just strapping another piece of wood to your raft? Will you forget it? We have a Savior who loves us and cares for us. And like Mike said this week, don't keep telling God about your sin. Tell your sin about your God. That's what you need to do. And he wants to rescue each and every one of us. And he wants to bless each and every one of us because that was the original design. When he made us in his image, it says, and God blessed us. The devil stole it and Jesus gave it back. So let's live in the blessing of God. Let's stand together this morning. Appreciate each and every one of you, the way you were a blessing to the benevolence ministry. But you know how much you'll be, how much more a blessing is when you become part of it, or part of the prison ministry. Richard and Diane and the Ray brothers came back. Glad to see you guys. How'd it go? Is it well?
They were awesome.
Awesome. They were in the prison this morning. Appreciate young men going in there. I tell you what, you're never too young. You're never too old. I just want to give thanks for each and every one of you. Let's just give thanks. Let's close our eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, I just want to thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters today. I want to thank you that their lives are going to continue to be a testimony of your goodness and mercy. And Father, I come against that spirit of unbelief that tells us that we're not good enough in Jesus' name. I come against that spirit of dead works where we're in a hole and we're trying to dig our way out of it with the same shovel we dug ourselves into it. And Father, I just want to pray now, we are not castaways, but we've been adopted by you. We are your children. We are blessed by you. And Father, I thank you that the word of God is not limited to the priesthood, but it is given to every man, woman, and child who dares believe it. So Father, I pray right now, I come against the spirit of ignorance in this house, against the spirit of poverty in this house, and say that the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. While everybody's got their eyes closed, I want to just make sure that everybody here indeed is in the blessing of God. If there's anybody here this morning that you do not know for sure that your life has been transformed by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, if there's any doubt in your mind, I want to eliminate that doubt today. So I'd like to see everybody this morning. But if you're not sure of your eternal salvation, I need you to raise your hand right now in Jesus' name. Just raise your hand if you're in any doubt. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand, man. I see the hand of the three-year-old as well. Isn't that cute? Is there anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand, young lady. Thank you. I'd ask Diane to come forward and anybody in the ministry team this morning, because we'd like to pray for you. Pat, I want you to go and pray for Tony right now and anybody else who wants to go with him. Bob or whoever else. Tony's going for a hip surgery tomorrow. We want to be able to bless him in the name of the Lord. Listen, I want to say this. There's no condemnation about surgery. Those three people that raised their hand about salvation, just walk forward now while everybody's eyes are closed. We want to pray for you. Just come forward in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Just bring the young lady up there. Thank you, Lord. So let's make our last confession together this morning. And anybody else who needs prayer, come on up. Let's say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the gift of life. I thank you for the generosity of your heart that you've given me all things. I thank you for my inheritance, that in my heart, I'm going to leave Brooklyn and I'm going to go west for my inheritance, that you've given me a beautiful land. I thank you, Father, for your promises are yes and amen. And I thank you, Father, that you've redeemed me from the curse and that I'm free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. If anybody wants any prayer for any reason, please come forward. Even if you don't want to tell us what it is, come forward now. And then if you need to leave, we thank God for you. Please join us for a cup of coffee and a bagel. And don't forget the orphans.